Our scripture reading this morning is from the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 4. And I'll be speaking through the entire chapter, but we're only going to read the first 10 verses. This is page 229, if you're using the Pew Bible. Joshua 4, beginning at verse 1. And let us hear God's word. When all the nation had finished passing over the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Take 12 men from the people, from each tribe a man, and command them, saying, 'Take 12 stones from here out of the midst of the Jordan, from the very place where the priest's feet stood firmly, and bring them over with you, and lay them down in the place where you lodge tonight.' Then Joshua called the 12 men from the people of Israel, whom he had appointed, a man from each tribe. And Joshua said to them, 'Pass on before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take up each of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the people of Israel, that this may be a sign among you. When your children ask in time to come, what do those stones mean to you? Then you shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial forever.' And the people of Israel did just as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of the Jordan, according to the number of the tribes of the people of Israel, just as the Lord told Joshua. And they carried them over with them to the place where they lodged and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant had stood, and they are there to this day. For the priests bearing the Ark stood in the midst of the Jordan until everything was finished that the Lord commanded Joshua to tell the people, according to all that Moses had commanded Joshua. The people passed over in haste." May God add his blessing to this reading of his word. Well, remembering is important, especially when it comes to important things. You don't have to raise your hand, but how many of you have forgotten a birthday or an anniversary? I'm not proud to say that more than once I've forgotten a meeting and have stood someone up. Putting something on our calendars is good, but then you have to remember to check your calendar. And for distractible people, that can be a challenge. Some of us have better memories than others. For those of us who don't, there are all kinds of tricks to remember things. I know a couple of people who move their wedding ring to the other hand to help them remember something. We write notes to ourselves. We create lists. We use calendars. Today, electronic calendars even come with alarms to help remind us. Well, this story from Joshua 4 is about remembering something very important. It's about something that God wanted his people to remember, and not just for the next few weeks or months, but something he wants them to remember forever. Forever is a long time. I tell people that I don't remember what I did yesterday. So the idea of remembering something forever, that's a daunting challenge. God knows that. He knows how quickly things are forgotten. If some of you pay attention to the news, you know that there are what are called news cycles. Something is big news for a few days until it's replaced by something else. And then the previous thing is pretty much forgotten. News agencies do that because they know that the interest of listeners or readers is only something that goes so far before they become bored and they start itching for something new to capture their attention. Well, God does not want to become old news. He doesn't want to be forgotten. He doesn't want to be discarded for the latest interest of the moment. He wants to be remembered. Now, in case that sounds a little self-centered to you, let's put that in context. God is our maker, and he's made us for a relationship with him. The Bible says that God loves people. Even before the creation of the world, even before we came into existence. And he knows that without him, we would have nothing. We wouldn't know anything. We wouldn't even exist. Think of the important people in your life. When they're not there, you miss them because the relationship is important. If the relationship grows cold or it ends, there's a sense of loss. The Bible speaks in very strong terms about the deep love that God has for his people. Some of the images used are the affection that a mother has for her child, or the love that a father has for his son, or the love that a husband has for his wife. But more than that, God knows that our ability to flourish and to find satisfaction in life, our very existence, depends upon our relationship with him. He is the source of our life. And so, somewhat for his own jealous reasons, but also for our good, he does not want us to forget him. To forget who he is, to forget what he has done for us, to forget his promises, to forget that we are important to him and why he is important to us. So I have 2 points this morning: the command to remember and the importance of remembering. First, the command. 20 to 25 miles of the Jordan riverbed were now dry. God had stopped the water flow about 18 miles north of the Israelites. Some suggest that God may have used an earthquake to collapse rock and earth to dam up the river. We don't know how God did it. But the important thing for us to see is that God demonstrated his power here over creation, specifically his power over the waters. As we saw last time, unlike the lifeless, powerless gods of the surrounding nations, God shows here that he is the living God, the Lord of the heavens and the earth. We're reminded here of the power displayed by Jesus when he commanded the wind and the waves, and they obeyed him. We see the same power in him that we see in the God of Israel. Jesus wants us to know that he is the living God. And so he is the one in whom we should trust. Trust to save. Trust to provide. He wants us to know that he is the one whom we should follow. But God not only wants us to know this, he wants us to remember it. He wants future generations to know it. And so God commands Joshua to find 12 men, one from each of the 12 tribes, and commissions them with the job of collecting a stone from the Jordan River. Not just anywhere in the river, but the stones were to come from the location where the priests were standing who were holding the Ark of the Covenant. When I was young, I used to like to collect stones from various places where my family vacationed. My favorite stones came from the beaches along the north shore of Long Island. There were so many interesting shapes and colors and textures. And when I looked at them later, they reminded me of the places that we had been and what we did there. So these significant stones in this story, no doubt much larger than the ones that I collected, were to call to mind the very location where the Ark of God, the throne of God, stood during this incredible miracle. The memory was not just to be about how the water of the Jordan stopped flowing that day. That would have been remarkable in itself to remember. But more than that, this was to be about how God stopped the water so that his people could cross over. Joshua then sets these stones up in the midst of the Israelite encampment. As I said in the children's sermon, we don't know exactly how he set them up, whether he stacked them or set them in some sort of formation, but he did it in a way that would call attention to it when people passed by. Now, just a very quick side comment. There is some question about the best way to translate verse 9. A simple translation of the Hebrew here seems to be that Joshua set up a second set of 12 stones, one at the camp and one in the river itself. And a number of Bible commentators and Bible translations support that view. But instead of saying that Joshua set up a second set of stones in the midst of the Jordan, there's another way of translating verse 9, which says that Joshua set up the stones that were or had been in the midst of the Jordan. So in that view, verse 9 is talking about where the stones came from and not where Joshua actually set them up. The New International Version uses that translation, and personally, that's the one that I prefer. In my mind, it's hard to see how stones on the riverbed could serve as a memorial if they were going to be covered again by water. But whether there was one set or two, the purpose of these stones is clear. They were for remembering. And verse 7 tells us this. The stones were to be used in the construction of a memorial, an ongoing reminder of what God had done here on this day. It was to be a memorial, the verse says, forever. A memorial for generations to come, so that when children ask their fathers in times to come, what do these stones mean? Then you shall tell your, let your children know, Israel passed over this Jordan on dry ground. This was an event that God wanted his people to remember for generations to come. And notice, it was not simply an arrangement of stones that was going to communicate this. Okay, the remembering involved verbal commentary and explanation. The stones were there to get the conversation going, but not to do the speaking. There was a responsibility of fathers to tell the story and pass on to their children the facts and the significance of this great event. Last Sunday was Father's Day, and in the children's sermon, I spoke about the importance of fathers and mothers passing on to their children the great things that the Lord has done, and also the things that he has spoken. There's a special responsibility that fathers have here as they pass these things on to the next generation as leaders of their homes. But really, it's the responsibility of everyone in the present generation to teach these things to the rising generation so that they can learn, so that they in turn can pass these things on to the generation following them. We read these things this morning in our responsive reading from Psalm 78. And our final hymn today is going to be based on that same psalm, passing on the mighty deeds of the Lord to our children, passing on his laws and his instruction. And all of this is why we have Sunday school and junior church and children's ministry and youth groups. They're not just so that our children can have fun and socialize with one another. They're supposed to be vehicles for reminding our children what God has done and what he has said. There's a growing biblical illiteracy in our society. Fewer people know even the most basic stories and teachings of the Bible. God is being forgotten. What he has done is being forgotten. What he has spoken is being forgotten. And so my question for all of us is, are we helping our children and grandchildren to remember the Lord? Are we speaking of his mighty acts? Do we talk about his laws and about his instructions? Do you speak about these things with others outside of your family? Are you doing your part to help keep the memory of the Lord alive in our day? And of course, as New Testament believers, the special focus of our remembering should be Jesus Christ and the important events of his death and resurrection. All the accounts of God's salvation that we read about or that we read about in the Old Testament are part of a larger picture. All of it points to the saving work of Christ. And Jesus explicitly commands us to remember him and what he has done. He didn't erect 12 stones in a monument, but he has given us the Lord's Supper that he's commanded us to do in remembrance of him. Well, that brings us to the second point, the importance of remembering. So God commands us to remember, but why? Why is that so important? Joshua gives the answer in verse 24. We didn't read this this morning, but I am going to read it in just a moment. And there are two parts to that answer. Backing up to verse 20, we see Joshua setting up the 12 stones at Gilgal. And when he does this, he again tells the people that it is to help them remember the Lord and what he has done on this day. But then starting in verse 23, he says this: "For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan for you until you passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up for us until we passed over, so that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever." Now, before we look at the two things of importance that Joshua mentions, I want to also point out something that he does here. He takes the present activity of God that day, and he links it with what God had done before. He ties the crossing of the Jordan with the crossing of the Red Sea that happened 40 years prior to this. Now, I point that out because it gives us a clue about how we should be approaching the Bible as we read it and as we speak about it. In it, we find a history. It's a history of redemption or salvation. It's a continuous story, and all the parts are connected. It's a story that builds. The events of the present build upon and compound the stories that came before. The picture of God, who he is, and what he is doing expands over time and is confirmed by new events and new words as history progresses. And by the time we get to Christ, the climax of the story, the full picture is very impressive. When we read the Bible and when we speak of it with our children and others, it should not be as a collection of isolated stories. Jesus does not just emerge out of the blue. Even if we just go back to the time of Abraham, there are more than 2,000 years of history that precede Jesus. 2,000 years of historical context that helps us to understand who Jesus is and what he came to do. Okay, so what's the importance then of remembering God? What does Joshua say in verse 24? Very quickly, first he says, so that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is almighty. Well, this is reminiscent of what we spoke about a couple of weeks ago. God's demonstrations of power are so that we may know that he is the Lord. He's the living God. Joshua's words here in verse 24 are so that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty. So we see here that the scope that God intends is very large. These demonstrations of power are not just for the benefit of Israel, they're for the benefit of all the nations. And so one of the reasons why we are to remember and keep alive the accounts of God's mighty deeds is so that other people, people who do not yet know God, will see him as he is and know that he is the Lord, he's the living God. That's what evangelism and missions is all about. We're to go into the world and tell of the great things that God has done, his mighty acts, and most important, what he has done through Jesus Christ. Our summer Sunday school is focusing on outreach, on going. And one of the things I shared in the first session of that class is that evangelism has fallen by the wayside in our day, in our society. And among the younger people in our society, and even among the younger people in the American church, there's actually the belief that it's wrong to try to persuade others to adopt what we believe. I hope that's not true among the young people in our church, but it is, according to recent surveys, throughout the church at large. In other words, they believe that it's actually wrong to evangelize, that it's rude and actually arrogant. But Jesus says, no, that's not right. We're to go and we're to tell others about him, about his death and his resurrection, and that there's forgiveness of sins and eternal life for all who turn to him. The same was true in Joshua's day. God hasn't changed. The mighty deeds of God, his great acts of salvation that he works for his people, are to be made known among the nations so that they will know that the Lord is mighty, that he is God, that he is the one whom they should follow. Well, the second thing is, Joshua says, is that you may fear the Lord your God forever. And this second thing is similar to the first, but it's more directed to those who are already God's people. It's the in-house reason for remembering the Lord. Now, let me just say that there's more to our relationship with God than the element of fear. God desires our love, to love him as he loves us. He wants us to delight in him. He wants us to enjoy him, to enjoy the good things that he gives to his children. And I should also say that the fear that is in view here is a healthy fear, okay? It's not something that's debilitating to us. To fear the Lord is to have respect or regard for him. It's to remember that he's a consuming fire and that he will not allow the guilty to go unpunished. It's to know that we cannot take him lightly or regard our personal sins lightly. God calls us to confess our sins, to turn from them, and to obey his commands. And if we do that, he promises to forgive. But we can never, ever take this for granted. We cannot plunge into sin and presume that we're going to find grace at the other end. We are to fear God so that we will have nothing to fear from him. Elsewhere in Scripture, God tells us that the love, the compassion, and the blessing of God falls upon those who fear him, who have regard for who he is, and so who walk in his ways. So you see, it's important that we know God. It's important that we remember him. He wants us to know and remember that he is the only true and living God, the Lord whom we must obey. But he also wants us to know that he is the Lord who saves and who blesses. And just as he did for Israel, he overcomes obstacles for us and paves the way for us to enter into a rich inheritance. He has done this through Jesus, who called himself the way. So remember him today. Remember him in your own hearts, but remember him as well with your children, with your grandchildren, and to all who need to know the Lord. Let's pray. God in heaven, thank you for the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of salvation. Thank you that you have given us things, Lord, to help us remember. You have given us the scriptures. You've given us signs and seals of your promises. Help us, Lord, prompt us, move us to avail ourselves of these things so that we will not forget you. We will not forget your ways, but instead be a source of or a vehicle for bringing your glory to the nations, for letting that light shine, the light that you have given to us in Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask for your grace. We pray for it in Jesus' name. Amen.